I am a Christian who happens to be a nurse, and not a nurse who happens to be a Christian. So it's the we are always the priorities. We are Christian first. Okay. I am a the youngest in our family. I became a member in the church, Metropolitan Bible Baptist Church, in Manila, Philippines, and it's quite a big church. It's pastored by Dr. Benny Abante Jr. He pioneered that church. He started that church 1975, and until now, he's still the pastor there. If I remember properly, I believe they have 85,000 chartered members there now, all over the globe. So it's quite a big church. And I am the youngest of the family of six. I got two brothers and three sisters, and two of them lives in America, in California, in Las Vegas. Three of them lives in London, and my mother as well in London. My dad home with the Lord already, and my grandmother, who took care of us when I was 1 year old. My parents came over here in United Kingdom already. So I praise God because I was the first fruit of the family. What I mean first fruit is I was the first one who got saved with my family. So God used me, my testimony that time, you know, through prayers, you know, God used me for them to know the Lord as well. They're quite intrigued because before they see me, my children should not be hearing this, see me alcohol, cigarettes, but when God changed my life, they see me holding the Bible. So they got intrigued, you know, and then they, you know, they come to the church and they got saved as well. And then friends and some relatives, extended family members, loved ones, they come to know the Lord as well. So I praise God for that because he used me. I'm the black sheep of the family, you know, and then he used me for them to know the Lord as well. Fast forward with my COVID experience. Before that, I would like to thank you all, church. Thank you, Pastor, for... I would like to take this opportunity to thank you, everybody, for welcoming us to your church. Since the first time we entered that door, you welcome us like a family. So in behalf of my family, I would like to thank you all for that. We are very, very welcome, very warm welcome you've showed to us and your love. Thank you for that. Okay. Let me click this one. Okay. Also, I would like to thank you, you know, because when I was there in the hospital, I know that you are praying for me. Churches praying for me, you know, friends, relatives, loads of people, you know, thousands of people praying for me when I was there in the hospital. I know that you lift me up in your prayer for the Lord to spare my life with this COVID. I don't want to be emotional. I would like to give my testimony, you know, like not an emotional one. But if I become emotional here, please understand me. Anyway, so thank you, everybody. I didn't even thank my family yet, you know, with that. Thank you, children, guys, I know my children told me that my wife has been crying every day, you know. But I told them, of course, your mom crying every day, because while I'm in the hospital, he have to do the laundry, ironing. I have to do the cooking until I come back. So, thank you. No, I'm joking. Thank you, sweetheart, for all your patience, you know, all your sacrifices, you know. Thank you. But that's true. Right. let me... Okay. I have photos here that I would like to show you, and I hope with these photos, we can see the power of prayers. You know, the miracle of God, His mercies, His protection, help. You know, that strength He gave me, and the comfort He gave me when I was there in the hospital. My COVID started when I have a patient there in the nursing home, up there, Pontypridd Nursing Home. I've been working there since 2006. I work with, is Elaine here? Okay, I work with Elaine Pips for, I think, 2 years or more, that time, until she retired. So I sent a patient in the hospital that night. I believe that was like April 9. And then he was tested positive of the COVID. I learned that on the Sunday is the 13th of April. So on this photo here, it says construction of the back building, December 2019. My brother there is have the yellow thing in front of him there. That's my brother who came here December. And I can see the hand of God already working even long before I have the COVID. Because it should have been a different story if my back building has not been done, you know, that time. So I see also the protection of God even before, you know, I didn't know that I will be using that back building for my isolation. So it's been... Yes. Right. Okay. Rachel and Della there. They're painting the walls. And Ryan doing his bit as well. Okay. That's Rachel. Learning how to use the hammer. Okay, so the reason I'm showing you this one, because it's very, very important to me, you know, that our back building, you know, in the future, it become very, very very, very useful. Well, the protection of God is there, not only for me, it's only for my family, So that's the building that I use for my isolation. This photo here is the day before my before I started my isolation. This photo taken out, this one, when we walk on the Rigos Mountain for 4 or 5 hours, I think that Saturday, 11th of April, that one, when we walked there. And then in the night, sorry, on the night of that Saturday, 11th of April, that's the beginning that I feel very, very tired, aching on my legs, aching on my body. I started to cough. So I decided the following day, on the 12th, to isolate myself. And also, that's the time that I rang my work to tell them that I cannot be working on the following day, the Monday. So they told me that the person that I sent to the hospital back Thursday night was tested positive. So I said, oh, probably I have that COVID as well. And then I have the swab test on Monday, on the 13th of April. They said, wait for 48 hours for the result. We waited. We waited and waited until the 21st. Now, on the 21st, that was the time that I became very, very ill, very deteriorating very fast. My nails are turning blue, lips purple. I cannot even finish my sentences. So my wife rang 999, rang the doctor as well, you know. And then they took me to ICU that day. Hold on, this are when I was isolating there. This was in stimulation. Sorry for that. Okay. They took me to ICU. And then they used the CPAP when I arrived there. CPAP is the continuous positive airway pressure. That was very, very hard. That's the mask that they put in your face. Very, very tight and sealed. It's like a torture. To me, it's like a torture. It's, you have to fight in every breathing that you breathe in, breathe out. It's really like a torture. I cannot, I don't know how I survive for how many days before they use ventilators, but even when I was on CPAP, I've been praying to God. I've been praying, Lord, that I've been claiming these promises, very restless, uncomfortable, with, that's not the one. I don't have the photo with when I was on that CPAP. You don't know where to put your hand, the only position I am comfortable is when I was on my prone position on my chest. So when you're in your chest, you cannot put your hands like that, or either like that or like that. But there's loads of tubes and a lot of things attached to my body. So when I'm putting my hands like that, you know, like, I don't know, in Isaiah 41:10 and 13 is a very, very good verse, because I'm quoting those promises as well when I'm on that position. You know, I would like to read to you. It says here, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." In verse 13 says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." You know, when I was on that position, you know, when I was praying to God, it's like I'm in the middle of a storm and God holding my hand, comforting me. So I've seen the comfort there, the help from the Lord. So, but surely I doubted the Lord. Surely I doubted the Lord, because when I was intubated with the ventilator, even I am medically induced coma. I was in a medically induced coma. I'm still praying to God. In my mind, I'm still praying, Lord, where's your promises? Lord, where, blah, blah, blah. But I remember one of my prayers is, Lord, please, I know I'm going to die this weekend. I know that I'm not going to get out of this hospital alive. Please, Lord, don't get anybody from my family, anybody from my friends. Please, Lord, spare them. Just take me. That's my prayer. But those prayers, it seems right, but it's not right, you know, because I underestimate the power of God to heal me. I thought I was going to die. So, in those times, you know, the Lord is faithful and true to His promises. He's still, you know, because of your prayers, brethren, you know, a lot of people praying for me, Lord answers your prayers. So, He spared my life. So, I can see the promises of God in there being fulfilled again. Okay, so that's the 28th of April there. Still on ventilator, still on intubated. That was the time the nurse there in the ITU told me when I met her after that I was very, very poorly on the 28th and 29th. Sometimes in the hospital, when you call, if you are a family member and you call, they will just say, oh, he's comfortable, blah, 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 like this and like that. He slept well. Of course, I'm sleeping well because I was, you know, but the nurse, her name is Rosil, told me that I'm very, very poorly on that time, 28 and 29. Coincidence, that's the time, 28 in the Philippines, my pastor friend told me that I was reported dead in our hometown. I believe I should be dead, but because the prayers again of the saints, you know, your prayers, God, heard all your prayers.
Okay, that's Ryan FaceTiming. You know, when I was intubated there. Okay. It's the 5th of May when I was... I was off ventilator machine on the 5th of May. Okay. I woke up in the noontime. I believe I pull out the NGT. You know, I said, why can't I speak? I said, so what is this? I pulled out the NGT. So, and then I thought I was abducted or kidnapped because all of the people there, they were on face masks and some of them like using a what do you call that, the outer space, you know, like round, and they have the tube on the back. I said, where am I? I'm confused. I said, I'm confused. And they're tall, very, very tall, you know. The nurses there that time when I woke up, they're very tall, and they were like, these are not human beings. I said, I must be somewhere else. So, and then in the afternoon, on the night of that 5th of May, I was able to talk a little bit already on that one. And I spoke to my wife. Another thing is there is I didn't forget anybody. So I said, I've been kidnapped. I said, well, because I've been paranoid, you know, because of the medicines, you know, medication that they gave me, you know, the opiates, the sedatives, you know. So, and on my prayers that I will be dead by the weekend. So, I said, I've been abducted, blah, blah, blah. And then I spoke to my wife. I said, get the police. Get the police, please. I said, get the police. I've been kidnapped, I said. I don't know if Tess told anybody of you, but those are the words that I told her. Get the police, get Pastor Darren. I even told her, get Pastor Darren. He's a pastor. He will listen to him. They will listen to him, I said. They will listen to him, get him. I don't know if Tess told you about that, but... You know, if you wait until weekend, I will be dead. I said, please get the police. Tell Rachel to phone her friends, the police friends that she had, and get me from here. So, those are the effect of the of the medications there. Okay. When I woke up. From the 5th of May, every day they asked me if I wanted to FaceTime my family. I said no, I'm not interested. The reason why is I don't want my children to see me on my dying days, because I thought I'm going to die that weekend. So no, I would like my children to remember me as a strong father, you know, like the day before I isolate myself. So that's one of the reasons. And that's why this FaceTime here, this is the time that when I realize that I have the chance. Because when I my prayers to God at the end, you know, before I woke up, I said, Lord, give me a sign that you still wanted me to live. If I'm alive by the weekend, that's one of the signs that you still wanted me to live. So I'm waiting for the weekend. I'm waiting for the weekend when I woke up Tuesday, Wednesday. I really thought that somebody will come and kill me by the weekend, you know. So this one is before. Okay. That one is before they transfer me to Heath Hospital. By that time, it's like Friday, and I said I will speak to my family. The following day, it's Saturday. That's the day that if I still alive, I will still live. If I die, somebody will kill me. Okay. So they discharged me on the 8th. Yeah. I was discharged. They transferred me to Heath Hospital. The discharge plan there is that I will be having a dialysis 3 times a week. But it never happens. God opens my kidneys on their own, so I never have a dialysis there. Half of the dialysis, yes, but it blocked, and the doctor is stopped, and then I have a very good output, urine output, so never happen again. So that's another, to me, that's another miracle of God. Okay, so I just use 2 units of, I just need 2 units of blood there, and that's it. When I was in recovery ward now in Heath, I have the chance to browse, you know, on my phone, and there's 2 songs there that I really cry every time I hear them, you know. So I want to play them to you, because Tess put these songs, and the people who sang this song, she wanted me to see these familiar people, because they were our former with the group in our church. So they done right, Josh? Okay. Aside from the messages that you put, you know, you message to Tess, I've seen them every time, you know, people message her, and you know, we're just here, just give us a call, or let me know what you need, you know, tears flowing out of, you know, aside from these songs here.
Almighty.
And I part with that group when we were there in the Philippines. So that's why I'm very, emotional when I heard those. And then our friends made as well a video, a song, and then they compiled together, and then they sent me when I was awake. So. I don't know what happened. Those are our friends, you know, they're all over the world now, you know, in America, the Middle East, and some other parts. And the one who sang first there is Tess, if you didn't notice. Okay. Right. This is the time now that we've been waiting, you know, for me to get out of the hospital. So it was like 15th of May. I don't recognize the mail there. I didn't recognize at all. When I see my face in the mirror, I said, that's not me. Yeah. Okay, so that's before I look like 70 there. Okay, it's the first appointment after my discharge, a week after my discharge. So I lost 15 kilograms, you know, in the hospital when I was there. So this one, I'm beginning to gain. Maybe I gained 2 kilograms there after a week. Okay, this is Mel, one of the nurses there in the ITU who took care of me. And he was the only one that I... I should say the only person that I trust when I was there, because to me, all of them, they wanted to kill me. Okay, so this is Richie. This is the one that I thought the one that will assassinate me. Yeah, so I'm telling him there, you know, when I met him after, you know, on the funeral of husband of Tess' co-worker. He's a Filipino, also died of COVID 8 days after I got out of the hospital. Okay, that's Rosil there, the in the middle. That's the one that I thought it's the mastermind of the people who kidnapped me. So I told her as well there. She's a nurse there in ITU as well. All right. If you ask me, how am I now? We do walking on the Tonrebel Mountain, Tubrijan Mountain, on the 20th of June there. So I'm beginning to have my strength back. That's the one. And then on the 3rd of August, we went to Peniban Mountain. And we reached the summit there. So, God giving me back my strength now, you know, on those times. And then on the 11th of August, we went to Snowdon Mountain. I never imagined, you know, after my COVID to climb these places. You know, Snowdon Mountain is one of the three peaks, and we went to one of the hardest trail. almost off the top there. And it's very, very hard that time. So I said, we better go back. We cannot reach the summit. No, we we reached the summit there. That side there, that's taken from the drone of my friend, Neri's husband. I'm very fit now. You know, I'm back. I'll be going back to work, if God's permit, you know, second week of September. Okay. And this one, my next challenge. I wanted to reach that one. You know where is this? Mount Everest. Right. Okay. Despite of all these things happened to me, I wanted to give back all the praises and glory to God. It makes me stronger as a Christian, surely, with my experience there. God is still in control despite of the pandemic. Everybody, I believe that everybody who have the experience with the COVID, they have their own stories to tell. But my stories is not about me. It's about God's love, God's protection, and God's mercies. Thank you to all.
Absolute blessing. You know, I think sometimes we take prayer for granted. You know, oftentimes people ask for prayer, and I think we're a bit flippant. You know, I'm praying for you, I'm keeping you in prayer. But I can promise you that through all of that time, I know the church wasn't just praying, they were fervently praying every single day. And one of the most exciting things for me was when Felino phoned. It was on a Sunday, and I'd actually gone to drop something up to Deb and Lens. And I think it was your birthday. And that night then, as we were just about to leave, Felino phoned. And it was one of the most emotional phone calls, because it was just incredible to hear his voice. Because, you know, you'd been praying and praying and praying, and then when he said how God had spoken to him through being in a coma and how he was aware of everything that had went on. You know, oftentimes you think, well, somebody's in a coma, they wake up and then they're like, oh, I've been, you know, I haven't been aware of anything for the last 3, 4, however long they've been in a coma. But he said he was aware of everything. Every conversation that took place, he could hear going on. You know, every time there was a FaceTime call with the family, he could hear them, but he couldn't talk to them because he was in this coma. And it was just incredible to hear how God spoke to him, even in a coma, and how God answered that prayer, and how God has used his testimony. And I know, you know, that he's one of the most humble people you will ever meet, and he hasn't mentioned the fact that he's, I don't know how many TV channels he's been on and how many interviews he's done and how many Christian TV channels have aired his testimony, and that testimony has reached thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And I'm sorry, but you cannot deny that there is a God when you hear a testimony like that and you hear the power of prayer. And I just pray that the Lord will continue to use his testimony. I pray that God will continue to use his family for the cause of Christ, and it's just incredible to know that the Lord is still in control, that he's still on the throne, and that Steve has got somebody else to do a special now on a Sunday night, because they sang in the choir back in the Philippines. We've had evidence of Tess singing, so we're a day in the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day, so time makes no difference in the Lord's eyes. So we're just looking forward now to the family singing one night on in a service. So praise the Lord. Thank you so much for your testimony, and I just pray that you know, as this goes out to however many people, that lives will be changed, that somebody who doesn't know Christ as their Saviour will recognise the power of prayer, and that those incredibly traumatic few months for Felino and the family will be used by the Lord. You know, at the time, you can't say all things work together for good because you can't understand it. But I pray that all things, including that traumatic time and that battle with COVID, will work for good because of how many people will hear Felino's testimony and maybe will come to know Christ as their Saviour because of that power of prayer. Amen. All right, we'll close with our last hymn. And then following that, then we'll close in prayer and we'll dismiss. Unfortunately, we can't. I'd love to say I send Felina out and you can speak to him. But because of the way in which we got to dismiss, we won't be able to do that. But thank you so much from the church. Thank you for your testimony and for your faithfulness in giving God the glory as well. Amen. All right, Joe. Yes, you were singing, love.
Upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside.
Once again I thank you.
Once again I pour out my life. Exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. marvel at his saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. I'm full of praise once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside.
Once again I thank you.
Once again I pour out my life. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside.
Once again I thank you.
Once again I pour out my life.
Once again I thank you.
Once again I pour out my life.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this day and for this time together. Thank you for Felino's testimony. Thank you for that answered prayer. And Father, I just pray you continue to use that testimony to reach a lost and dying world. Mm. Father, I pray that you would speak to hearts for those, Lord, who may be fearful of what the future holds because of this pandemic. Mm. I pray that they would know without a shadow of a doubt that it is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. If there's one listening tonight who has yet to trust Christ as their Lord and Savior, maybe there's somebody tonight who thinks that all hope is gone, that somebody is listening tonight thinking that, you know, there is no hope for tomorrow. Mm. And I pray that you would speak to their hearts, Lord, and that they might know without a shadow of a doubt that there is hope in that Savior. If they would confess their sins, put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he died upon the cross for them, that they can have an eternal hope, that their sins are forgiven, and that their home is heaven. Amen. So, Father, I pray that you would just continue to bless us, Lord, that your hand of blessing would be upon this church, Lord, and each and every person that's gathered here tonight. For those joining us online, Lord, I pray that your will would be done in our lives, and that we, as Felina, would be able to use our testimony to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask these things in his name and for his glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, as our live stream.